hope you had a pleasing lunch. And I apologise for dragging you back in from the sunlight, but there are matters at hand. What have we got now? He says, bedraggled, looking at his programme. We're going to look at the international picture here with a presentation from Lars and Trond from the National Library of Norway. They represent the a kind of peer institution to ourselves. They're a sound archive as part of a larger national library. But there's a key difference. Norway is in the lucky position to be offered legal deposit for recorded sound. So Lars and Trond are going to explore ways in which the Norwegian National Library does that. Over to you, chaps.
Yes, good afternoon. Firstly, it's always great to be back in London, and thank you, Andy, for the invitation. I will speak a little bit about the situation in Norway and what we are doing. The first part will be about legal deposit, and then I will also give you some information about our master tape collection. And finally, Lars will present our new tool or application, what we call the Media ID Editor. Okay. As some of you know, the history of legal deposit goes back to Gutenberg's invention of movable type printing. And the first Legal Deposit Act came into force in France. That was in the year 1537. And soon several other European countries followed the French. For instance, England in 1662, but not about audiovisual, though. But if we make a parallel to Edison's invention of the phonograph in 1877, the picture is quite different when we think of audiovisual material and legal deposit. In fact, most countries around the world still don't have any legislation for legal deposit of music or any kind of audio. And those countries that do have a legislation didn't implement the law until a few decades ago. For instance, Norway in 1989. Furthermore, due to the rapid change of audio formats and distribution from analog to digital and widespread use of the internet, the Norwegian law as well already requires revision. I will come back to that. Sorry. I suppose the overall purpose of any legal deposit act is to ensure that documents are deposited in national collections. And I do believe that it is probably the most efficient tool for preserving national cultural heritage. On the other hand, the law itself is no guarantee for complete coverage of any material. And there are several examples of national archives that are successfully based on voluntary deposits. For instance, here we are today, as we have heard, at the National or the British Library Sound Archive. Therefore, I also give you some numbers, and do keep in mind that Norway is a small country with a population of just 5 million. As you can see, we receive more than four times the number of items today compared to the early days. And this is not due to a significant change in the number of releases in Norway from 1990 until today. When speaking of vinyl versus CD, I may tell you that 1/3 of the releases we received in year 2012 were vinyl records. That's maybe surprising. But the reason for that is partly delayed deposits from the publishers. So in fact, the numbers you could speak are not correct. Okay, I will not make any further comments on these bullet points, maybe except that we also receive digital legal deposit from like 10 radio stations and 11 TV channels 24 hours a day. That's in the digital domain. Well, as I said, what do we hope for next? Our legal deposit law is already, there's already a need for an update. We hope that the Ministry of Culture will approve a proposal for new revision this year. Some of the improvements are better access to web harvested material, generally better access for research institutions, and last but not least, we hope that the new regulations will make it easier to ask for high-definition audio files from the record producers or publishers. By the way, I have brought some copies of the current Norwegian Legal Act, if someone is interested. We have made a translation, an unofficial translation, though, into Norwegian, but anyway. Well, then a little bit about our master tape collection. this material is kept up in Mo I Rana, where both Lars and I work daily. And I suppose not many national archives systematically work on such material. And soon I will also give you some reasons for that. As you can see, the number of open tape reels is around 80,000 items in different formats. This work is based on agreements with the right owners, that is several record companies or branches based in Norway. Part of the collection also includes master tapes from outside of Norway. And I know we have recordings of Elvis Presley, Bob Marley, Quincy Jones, Dire Straits, and even the Beatles, just to give you a few examples of that. Well, why are we doing this? First of all, we have good storage facilities up in Mo I Rana. This work has been an important supplement, I would say, to the legal deposit, which also has resulted in donations of published recordings. Obviously, major parts of the production materials have never been published, so its uniqueness may be of importance, as already mentioned here. And usually, the master tape is the best source for digitization as well. Well, even though there are several reasons for continuing this work, also when we speak of born digital material, it must be pointed out that there are some challenges to cope with. For instance, this is definitely time-consuming work when we think of cataloging, and all digitization has to be done in real time. Well, as we heard, actually not all, but mostly, I would say so. Furthermore, such work requires sophisticated equipment and professional staff. Then, just before Lars will speak more about how we can deal with audiophiles, I believe our experience on work with the master tape collection also could be useful when everything turns digital. And I'm quite sure that we will bring some ideas from this conference back to the National Library of Norway. Thank you for your attention.
Okay. In terms of the theme for the conference, going a bit off tracks. I'm not going to talk much about legal deposit. The National Library of Norway is a multimedial library, meaning that due to the Legal Deposit Act, we collect all sorts of material from books and printed material generally, newspapers, television, radio, music, the internet. Which means that we have a fair amount of digital material. The National Library of Norway has adopted digitization as a long-term preservation strategy. But because we have the legal deposit, and a lot of the legal deposit actually is material is analog, either in terms of that the books are printed or the music is played to your ears. We have been actively chasing publishers to deliver the digital files that actually creates the books and the music and the radio and the television. So this is just a bragging slide. We are digitizing our collection systematically, and around 1,000 books a week, a million pages a month. We have done almost 75% or a little more than 75% of all Norwegian monographs that has been published since 1500 something, I think. We have done approximately 20% of the historical newspaper collection. And the digital collection as of January this year is these numbers. And a lot of this material is either by voluntary agreements or by legal deposit law collected as digital files today. We have, over the last 10 years, sought solutions for both the legal and voluntary deposit to be as files, either through FTP or delivered on hard disks. And all radio and television has been delivered as files for the last 5 years, I think. Radio started more than 10 years ago. Which means another bragging slide, digital storage, 3 instances of the files, which means that we have 18 petabytes of data, but then you have to divide it by 3 to get the because we store 3 copies on one on a disk system, 2 on the tape robotic systems. We run a SAM file system, and the average growth is 6 terabytes. It should be 6 terabytes a day, peaking at 10 if I run 35 millimeter film through the scanner. So we expect the growth a little short of 2 petabytes this year. So digitizing the material also means digitizing the multitracks in our collection. That would be 1 and 2 inch analog MD and dash formats. And actually we have prioritized the digital formats because the machines are scarce. And I believe there's not many digital multi-track machines actually up and running around in Europe. And we occasionally get phone calls from around Europe because they have heard that we have one such machine. Can we have this tape? Can we come and have it replayed? And we mostly says yes. We also do this. This digitizing is done for preservation, long-term preservation. But we also do, as Trond mentioned, digitization on request for reissuing. That should be answered to a question earlier. Do they get their material back? Yes, they do. So these are then stored as EBU RF64 files, which is a way to store multi-tracks in an interleaved manner. So it comes up just as one file. And it's QC'd through a system called Audio Inspector that's made by Media Services in Austria. And they have developed the audio inspector to automatically push data into our catalog. We have a catalog for audiovisual material called MAVIS, Merged Audiovisual Information System. And this is done in a very automated way. There's not much personnel involved in all this. Not the QC, if the QC is okay, and not in the updating of the catalogs either. So we have a catalog here, and the file gets an URN, unique resource numbering. And you can see it's up there where it says original file. That is just one file. But this can then be pulled out and into any multi-track editing system, like this is Audacity, which is, I mean, freeware, and can then be replayed.
Robert met Ramona inside a Phoenix bar. Beneath the Christmas ornaments, they walked the boulevard. Robert had no money, no job, he was unskilled. They robbed an old
man. So we also make a simple down mix, automated down mix to MP3 for browsing the catalog, looking for the material that you believe you want. And this is an automated down mix. So I don't understand why it sounds different from the 24-track replay. I have to look into it. Maybe it's the MP3. But in terms of legal deposit, Trond mentioned we don't get it all. And at least now, when a lot of music is published not on any sort of physical carrier, and we have all these delivery systems that runs virtual copies of the material. So a couple of years ago, we put up this web page, which is unfortunately in Norwegian, and if you push the English button that is here, you'll just be redirected to the front page. But this is a page where you can upload music to the National Library in a very simple manner. And you have to say name of the artist, title, the year of publishing, the label, and the titles of the songs, if that's not obvious from the title of the yeah, sure. So and then you just browse your computer and select the file you want, and you send it. And you can only upload 5 songs at a time. But you can, of course, put all the songs in a zip file and just deliver the zip file. And we get not massive amounts of music through that interface, but there we do get quite a few. But we have known that in terms of production material, we've been experiencing a black hole. A lot of the stars' production material has not survived the last 15, 20 years, because even today, in terms of preserving your digital files, there's a lack of knowledge out there on how to do it. So we have been looking into how we can actually offer the industry a way of taking care of their production file material. And in 2009, the Norwegian Parliament said that the National Library of Norway and the National Archives of Norway should be responsible for offering long-term digital preservation services for the cultural heritage sector, which means we should put up interfaces for people, for institutions to take care of their images or any sort of file-based material that is part of the cultural heritage. And part of this made us want to make a solution for the creative music industry. And we looked into different sets of standards for how we're going to put up this. And there is a three-part set by the Audio Engineering Society, the AES 31, which deals with the file transfer of audio. And this is the second one. And the third one, which is a simple project interchange. And based on these and this document, which is a recommendations for delivery of recorded music projects that were put together by the Recording Academy producers and engineers wing, which goes very deep into naming standards and it's a very thorough document in terms of putting together a vocabulary for this. We went back to Media Services in Austria and said, could you make us a web-based system that based on our requirements in terms of naming and everything, and talks to Mavis, because they knew Mavis from beforehand. And Paul said, yes, no problem. And actually there was no problem. So we have a beta version today. This image has nothing to do with this. So they delivered then the Media ID editor, which is a Java application. And we put together some recommendations or some things that had to be in the document, which is an artist label, project, media type, master type. I mean, is it a stem or is it what part of the production is this? And then of course we need file information on the material. We're looking at the credits, relations. We also made it possible to upload cue sheets, or actually it's not necessarily cue sheets. It's any document that is .txt. It's also possible to upload PDF. And we have asked for it then to PDF and XML and a variable or XML called ADL, which is a audio document tagging language. So this document then goes as an XML to together with the actual sound files and could then be delivered through via FTP, and we will take care of the material and we will have the metadata that are necessary for us to secure a long-term preservation of it. We also added on there is a video. There it is. A possibility to hook on video as well. As I mean, video is as much part of the music industry these days as ever before. Okay. So this is a beta version. We got it last week, I think. But Trond has already started to do some testing on it. and Skluba. So where is my... That one? No. Yeah, there it is. Okay, yeah. So a lot of these fields would be static within a studio or a production at least. So you can just save the differences, open up, change the maybe just the title, and then make a new XML from it. So it, you won't have to fill in all these tags every time, which we think is necessary, because anyone who's been in a recording studio knows that people in the recording studio don't want to document anything. So we're trying to make it as simple as possible, but still be able to collect what we feel we need for long-term preservation. So we will be in contact with a small independent label before Easter and start to see if this is going to work in a production environment. And this is beautiful music, by the way. You should look it up on iTunes. So I hopefully before the summer we will start receiving material this way from the music industry. Okay. Just another picture. But it's from London, and it's 112 years old. And it's a frame from a film, a hand-colored film of the walk or the drive through London at the coronation of Edward VII, the 25th of June 1902, which is something I have been working on lately. So, okay, questions.
You mentioned the amount of information you have. Is it like YouTube in that everything is always online, or do you sometimes have to go away and dig out the tapes and then run them, get the information you want? My other question is how much, when you're dealing with films and PDFs, do you go to the maximum resolution, or do you have to limit the degree of resolution in order to, for technical reasons?
No limits on resolution in terms of preservation. But there's of course limits on the material that's either online or on the internet or online within the National Library, because the regulations, the rights regulations in Norway says that if we digitize for preservation, we are allowed to make it. We are allowed to digitize for preservation, and we are allowed to show our digital material inside the library, which means that everything we digitize, we can make accessible within the library. And that's what part of what Trond was talking about. We're looking into the regulations to see if we can broaden the scope to research institutions around the country as well.
And is everything permanently online?
It is online if you have the right access credentials.
That was fascinating overall. Lars, I think you partly answered part of what my question was going to be. You said there that you're actually receiving master tapes, multi-tracks, and for mastering from labels, and they're depositing them with you. Could you talk a bit about the rights issues and the ownership and the use of those tapes which have been deposited with you for reissue purposes, and what's allowed and what's not allowed?
Well, we make deposit contracts, of course. And the standard one says that we will have the rights to make this accessible within the library. And that's okay with most people. I was not involved in the Sony deposit contract negotiations. I guess that was a little bit rougher. I'm not sure what rights we actually have for that, but I would be amazed if rights to give access within the library is excluded from any contract. I don't think the now former National Librarian would have accepted any such contract.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Sean de Lars.